Ever feel like you want the real story, the inside scoop on something kind of complex, but wading through pages of official documents just isn't going to happen?
Uh-huh. It can be pretty overwhelming.
That's where we come in. For this deep dive, we're zeroing in on something pretty important for how the city of Big Lake works. How it handles those really big purchases using its capital improvement plan or the CIP.
Yeah, we've been digging into these excerpts from the city's CIP Purchase Procedures budget book. You can think of it as the official playbook for how Big Lake buys major stuff. You know, police cars, fire trucks, maybe even road equipment.
Exactly. And our mission today is really to break down the actual steps involved when the city makes one of these CIP purchases. We want to understand, like, the logic behind the rules and also touch on some of the real challenges they face doing it.
Makes sense. So where do we start?
Okay, let's jump in. First off, what is the CIP, really? And maybe just as critical, what isn't it?
Right, that's the perfect place to start. The CIP, at its core, is a financial plan. It's a planning document. It's the city looking down the road, maybe 5 or 10 years, and saying, okay, we're probably going to need these major, long-lasting things.
So, like a wish list, but for essential city stuff.
Sort of, but with a really important distinction. Just because an item is in the CIP document, that doesn't mean the city has permission to buy it right away. It's not automatic spending authorization.
Ah, okay. So it's step one, but not the only step.
Precisely. Every single item listed still has to go through more review. It needs specific approval from the city council later on, and it has to follow all the purchasing rules.
So it sounds like there are layers of approval built in.
Exactly. And that's deliberate. It's not just, you know, bureaucratic hoops. It's designed for financial control. It also gives the city flexibility if things change.
Like if something unexpected happens globally that messes everything up.
You nailed it. The documents actually mention the COVID-19 pandemic as a prime example. An event like that might cause the council to say, hold on, let's delay this purchase. Or maybe even, you know what, we can't do this one right now. It builds in that adaptability.
So it's about planning, but also being ready to pivot. The layers aren't just red tape. They're safety checks.
That's a great way to put it. Safety checks against maybe impulsive spending and ensuring these big purchases really fit the city's needs and budget at that moment.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So let's say an item is in the CIP. It survived that initial planning stage. Mm-hmm. How does it actually become, you know, a real thing the city owns? What's that step-by-step journey look like?
All right, so the process really kicks off with something called council direction. The department that needs the item, say Public Works needs a new truck, they'll prepare a presentation.
Okay.
First, they present it to the city administrator. Then it goes before the city council, usually in a workshop setting.
So getting it in front of the key decision makers pretty early, does that initial discussion sometimes, I don't know, change things?
Oh, absolutely. It's a chance for questions, maybe exploring alternatives. But the crucial part is formal direction from the council is needed before staff can even start looking into buying anything.
Got it. So council has to say, yes, proceed with investigating this purchase.
Exactly. It makes sure that whatever they're considering spending time and resources on actually aligns with what the council wants right now.
And is this where that needs versus wants idea comes in? I remember seeing that phrase.
Yes. That's a really fundamental question at this stage. And throughout, actually, they ask, can the department do its job effectively without this item right now? If the answer is yes, well, that item's probably not going very far. It needs to be pretty essential.
Okay, council gives the nod to move forward. What happens next? This sounds like where the money part really starts.
That's right. Step two is all about procurement requirements. And basically, the rules change depending on how much the item is expected to cost.
Different rules for different price tags. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Let's break that down. What about the lower end? Say something between like $1,000 and $25,000.
For that range, city staff generally need to get price quotes from several different vendors if it's feasible, you know, if there are multiple vendors. The idea is just to shop around a bit, make sure they're getting a decent price.
Standard practice, really.
Right.
Okay, what about the next bracket? Looks like $25,001 up to $175,000. That's a much bigger chunk of change.
It definitely is. And the process gets more formal here. Staff have to get either sealed bids or written quotes from at least two different vendors, again, whenever that's possible.
Sealed bids or quotes. Okay.
But here's an interesting point. The rules specifically mention using cooperative purchasing agreements,
yeah.
Things like the state bid program or Sourcewell. Using those counts as meeting the requirement.
Cooperative purchasing.
Yeah.
That sounds useful, like piggybacking on bigger deals.
Exactly. It lets Big Lake leverage the buying power of the state or other groups of government agencies. Often means better pricing and, sometimes, a smoother process than going out for bids all on their own. It's seen as a smart, efficient way to buy under state law.
Smart. Okay, so that covers up to $175,000. What about the really big stuff? Purchases over that amount. That must trigger the most stringent rules.
Absolutely. Over $175,000, it's the full formal process. You need detailed bid specifications written up.
Specs that say exactly what the city needs.
Right. And crucially, those specs have to be publicly advertised, usually in the city's official newspaper. This is all about transparency and making sure any qualified vendor has a chance to bid.
And the bids themselves.
They have to be sealed and then opened publicly at a specific time and place. Again, transparency. Then, the city council is the body that officially awards the contract.
And they can't just pick their favorite vendor, right? There are rules for awarding it.
Definitely strict rules. State law says the contract must go to the lowest responsible bidder.
Responsible. What does that mean exactly? Just the cheapest?
Not necessarily just the cheapest. Responsible means the bidder actually has the ability, the experience, the financial stability, the track record to do the job properly. If the council wants to pick someone other than the lowest bidder, they need a very solid, documented reason why that higher bid is actually better value for the city.
Okay, so lowest price is the goal, but not if the bidder can't deliver.
Exactly. And another key rule, the bid specs can't be written to sneakily exclude certain brands or vendors. It has to be a level playing field.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. And can they still use those cooperative purchasing things, like state bid, for these huge purchases too?
Yes, absolutely. Using state bid or Sourcewell is still a fully compliant way to handle procurement, even for items over $175,000. It often satisfies all those public bidding requirements automatically because the cooperative itself already went through a competitive process.
Got it. Okay, so they've gone through the bids or quotes, council's picked a winner. What's the very last step before, say, the new fire truck actually arrives?
The final stage is literally called final purchase approval. Once all the procurement stuff is done and the city gets an invoice from the vendor, that purchase goes back to the city council one last time for the final one. Okay. Often, this actually appears on what's called the consent agenda.
Oh, right. Where they approve a bunch of routine items all at once.
Exactly. Unless a council member specifically pulls it off for discussion, it gets approved along with other standard business. And by this point, staff usually have a much clearer picture of, like, the delivery date or how long the lead time will be.
Okay. Council gives the final thumbs up. Now let's talk funding. How does this all get paid for? The documents mention timing of purchases and local government aid, LGA, playing a big role. For folks maybe not familiar, what's LGA?
Right. Funding is obviously key. For most of these CIP items in Big Lake, the main source of money is local government aid, the LGA. It's basically funding the state sends to cities like Big Lake to help pay for services and projects.
Okay, state aid.
And Big Lake gets this LGA money in two main chunks during the year, one payment around July and the other, the bigger one usually, in December.
Ah, so the timing of that money coming in matters a lot for when they can actually spend on these big items. Does that mean they might have to wait sometimes?
It often does, yeah. For cash flow reasons, to make sure the city has the money physically in the bank, staff are generally encouraged not to make payments for purchases over $50,000 until after that December LGA payment arrives.
So hold off on writing the big checks until the state money is fully in.
Pretty much. But it's not a hard and fast rule always. The procedures acknowledge that sometimes you have to act earlier. Maybe there's a vendor deadline you can't miss, or maybe the item they need has limited availability and they need to lock it in. So exceptions can be made.
So it's practical financial management, but with some wiggle room for necessity.
Okay.
Now, something else that caught my eye was pre-ordering for future CIP items. Can they really order something now that's only planned for, say, next year's budget or the year after?
Yes, sometimes they can. Under certain conditions, staff can ask the council for permission to place an order now for something that's officially scheduled in a future year's CIP.
Why would they do that? Just super long waits for things.
That's often the main driver. Especially for specialized equipment, the lead times can be incredibly long. Or maybe a vendor changes their schedule, pushing delivery way out. Pre-ordering might be the only way to ensure they get it reasonably close to when they actually need it.
But I assume they can't just go on a pre-ordering spree. There must be controls.
Oh, definitely. Council approval is absolutely mandatory before any early order is placed. And if something they pre-ordered actually shows up earlier than planned in the CIT, they have to formally update the CIP document itself to show the item arriving in the current year's budget and timeline, not the future year. It shows the CIP isn't set in stone. Yeah. It has to reflect reality.
It has to be a living document, adapting to what's actually happened. Which leads perfectly into what sounds like a huge real-world factor right now, supply chain problems. The documents mention COVID-19 impacting things. How has that specifically affected Big Lake's ability to get these capital items? I think we've all felt that somehow in our own lives lately.
Yeah, it's had a massive impact, just like everywhere else. The pandemic seriously snarled up manufacturing, shipping, everything globally, and Big Lake is definitely feeling it.
How so? Any specific examples?
The documents give some really stark ones. Things like public safety vehicles, police cars, maybe ambulances and public works trucks. Historically, the city might wait a few months for delivery after ordering.
Right, that sounds normal.
Now, the documents say those same types of vehicles are often taking over a year to arrive.
Wow, from months to over a year. That's a huge jump.
It's dramatic. It really shows how these big global issues trickle down and directly affect local government operations. It's not just individuals waiting longer for a new car. The city's waiting way longer for essential equipment, too. Everyone's feeling the pinch.
That really puts it in perspective. Are there other ripple effects from these delays?
Yes. Another one mentioned is that even those cooperative purchasing programs like State Bid, which help streamline things, well, they aren't opening for bids as often as they used to. Sometimes only once a year now for certain types of equipment.
Ah, so that limits their options even more, forcing them to plan even further ahead, maybe lock into something much earlier than they'd ideally want to.
Precisely. It takes away some flexibility. So these external supply chain issues are forcing the city to plan much, much earlier than before. And sometimes, as the document notes, it means they have to go back to council and ask for exceptions to the original CIP schedule simply because the truck they ordered 2 years ago still hasn't shown up, or the price suddenly jumped because of component shortages.
It sounds like a constant juggling act between the plan and the unpredictable reality.
That's exactly what it is. A balance between careful, long-term planning and needing to react to things completely outside their control.
Okay, so let's recap. A CIP purchase in Big Lake isn't simple. It starts way back with planning future needs, then requires specific council direction to even start looking. Then there's this whole procurement process that depends on the cost. Could be getting a few quotes, could be a formal public bidding process using state law, and maybe cooperative contracts.
Uh-huh, with checks like needing the lowest responsible bidder.
Right. Then there's final council approval, often on the consent agenda. And all along, they're thinking about the timing of funding, especially that LGA money coming in July and December, which encourages waiting on big payments until year end, if possible.
Don't forget the possibility of pre-ordering for future years, with council approval, of course.
Right, and having to update the CIP if things arrive early. And layered on top of all that are these real-world complications, like massive supply chain delays, forcing even earlier planning, and sometimes needing exceptions to the schedule.
That sums it up pretty well. It's a system with multiple checks and balances, aiming for responsible spending of public money, but also needing built-in ways to deal with, well, reality.
It certainly shows there's a lot more to it than just deciding the city needs a new snowplow. You know, thinking about all these steps, the reviews, the bidding rules, the financial timing, it makes you appreciate that while it might seem complicated, it's really designed for accountability.
Mm-hmm. And to help navigate those unexpected bumps in the road, like the supply chain mess we talked about.
Definitely. Kind of leaves you wondering, doesn't it? How does my local town or city handle these big purchases? What kind of processes do they have in place? Probably something worth thinking about next time you see a new piece of city equipment on the streets.